When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick Scented Oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh air, Wick.
Te presentamos a Daniela. A ella nada le sorprende.
Siempre estoy lista para lo que venga.
Por eso,
este año fui a Walmart a comprar todo para combatir mis alergias antes que comience la temporada de alergias.
Claro, porque Walmart tiene
productos de alta calidad para las alergias como descongestionantes, sprays nasales, antihistamínicos y más, y a precios muy buenos.
¿Y sabías que también tiene pickup y delivery? Daniela, ¿te sorprendiste?
¿Yo? No, ¿qué va? Claro que sabía que Walmart tiene pickup y delivery.
Bienvenido a una farmacia más simple. Bienvenido a tu Walmart.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yo, what is going on? And welcome to another episode of the Urban Pitch Podcast, the beautiful game of life, part of the Believe Network. I'm Ramsey Abushala. To my left, Julio Matarosa, co-executive director of Vibes. What's going on, Julio?
Nothing much, man. We have special guests, man. Crossing the ocean this episode.
yeah. Our very first international. It's part international because we have two guests that are coming on from the Shirtless Plantain Show, Tosin and Coach. They just joined the Believe Network, so we're very excited to have them part of the Believe fam. We had a great conversation with them. You know, they're crazy about the game. They have crazy knowledge. If you've listened to their podcast, you already know that they're deep within the culture. They know. We got into a little bit of U.S. soccer culture, what it's like in London, because Coach is out there in London. It's like 2 a.m. right there right now, so he's dedicated to this. So we're really excited to share this conversation because we had a really good time talking about it. So without further ado, let's get into it. All right, we're here with Tosin and Coach from the Shirtless Plantain Show, new members of the Believe Network. Welcome to the Believe fam. What's going on, y'all? Thanks for taking the time to join the show.
Thank you guys so much for having us. How's everything going with you guys?
I mean, can't complain. We're all good on this side. How about you?
Man, great weather right here in LA. Yeah. I really can't complain.
Yeah, where are y'all coming from? Because I know from listening to the show, you guys have different time zones going on all the time. There's, a wide variety of different voices that feature on the show. So where are you guys coming from right now?
So I'm in London, born and raised. So, yeah, this isn't recording at this sort of time or being awake at this sort of time to get content out isn't a new thing. It's very much used to it now.
Yeah, it's dedication right there.
Dedication for real.
Yeah. We're here in Brooklyn in New York. So yes, where we're at. We're all over the place. So
yeah. Worldwide. Yeah. How, talk about that. Talk about going through the Shirtless Plantain Show, like bio, you guys talk about just, the global culture of everything. So talk about that and the importance that kind of plays into your guys' show, because you guys are covering different leagues, whether it's in Europe, whether it's here in the States. I feel like the grasp that you guys have over, just such a wide range of things is really impressive.
And so really informative as well.
Like, yeah, for sure.
You guys know, like, how do you watch so much soccer? I know me and Rabs, you can't.
Justin, you want to get this?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah. So, in Europe, football is the number one sport. In fact, football is the number one sport all over. America seems to be the only place where it's not. Actually, maybe cricket is number one in India. I don't know, but for the most part, we'd say that football is number one sport in the world. So it's culture at this point. It's how I've made some of my very best friends. You know, people that I have on my list that will be and stuff like that. There's a very good chance that I've played football with them, or watch football with them, or traveled all over the world to watch football with them half of my life. I'd say it's one of those things where it's a part, it ends up just becoming a part of you. So in terms of us being able to watch all of these leagues, it's I've grown up that I had access to, you know, in a chipped box, which is basically just like a we're stealing cable basically. So I could watch, you know, Spanish league, Italian league, the French league as well, growing up basically, and obviously the Premier League as well. And it just became something that, you know, that we're that it becomes part of you almost. You almost don't think about it. Almost like I can imagine how everyone has their schedules for, like, you know, playoff season in the NBA. You know, it's a natural thing. Whereas for us, you know, in Europe, it's, oh, you know, okay, it was coming up to December, so like Boxing Day is a big thing. Like, yeah, you know, a lot of leagues take a break over the winter. We play like literally the day after Christmas and stuff like that. So it's just something that we just became accustomed to and used to, you know.
Today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoffs. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow all your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts.
Yeah, and to add on to his point, I was born in London. I moved to America when I was 11 years old. Football's always been a thing for me. Like, it's literally like I was born. Like, I'm sure I've told this story before to you, Moose, but when my sister was born, 1996, November 27th, Newcastle Middlesbrough was playing. This is like Carabao Cup, right? I'm 6 years old. My uncle's like, we're going to go to the hospital to go see the baby. I was like, I don't care. I'm watching football. Like, I'm six, I'm telling my uncle this. And my uncle got this dog who I hated. Like, I hated Petra. Big pit bull, right? And he's like, I'm bringing the dog out. I was the first person out the house. But that's just how football's always been in our life. Coming to America, for me, helped me flip everything, because it's always been number one for me. But then I learned about the NFL, NBA. So it's about marrying everything, right? It's like, how do you marry all your, like, different hobbies and likes? Because we all love football, and like with the Shirtless Plantain Show, but it's also, we also have other hobbies as well. From time to time, when you hear us, you'll hear us bring up different things. Like the other day, we talked about Street Fighter. Like, these are the other things that, right, we love, yeah, as well. Yeah, so it's, yeah, like mixing the things that we all love with football. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, from a personal standpoint, I think that is what drew me to the game in the first place. Because, like, you know, growing up here, I was, you know, a baseball player growing up. I was not really I didn't become a fan until later in my life. And what really drew me into that was the culture around the game, and how, you know, there is, you know, the music, the art, the fashion, everything that kind of surrounds that you kind of see that in some of the American sports, like basketball, but not to the extent of soccer. And like, to me, that's how I kind of came into it. And then after that, now this is just all I watch for the most part, you know. No. And I mean, Julio, you grew up playing.
I grew up playing since I was a kid. I remember my dad playing Sunday leagues, being a goalie. He wanted me to be a keeper, and I was like, heck no, I'm in the field. having my Puma Kings because of Maradona. Moving on to, once I became a Beckham fan, all I wanted was Predators. And then the Addy Pierce came out, and those are my favorite boots of all times. Like, the sleek Kaká, all black Addy Pierce. To this day, I'll go to war for them. But like, growing up, seeing Beckham, becoming a Man U fan, seeing him go to Real Madrid, becoming a Real Madrid fan, then he came to Galaxy. I was like, that's where I stopped. But like, just watching, like, all my favorite players growing up, Chino Recoba, Zidane, just like all these great players, Roberto Carlos, DiBaggio, like, just seeing all that soccer growing up, the 94 World Cup. Being here, I was about 5 years old, and I just remember my family, just all we did, watch the World Cup. I don't even know if my dad had a job at that point, because all I can remember from that early age was just watching the World Cup.
Yeah. And so Tosin, moving here at 11, and, you know, being so, like, to the point where you're missing out on your sister's birth to watch a Carabao Cup game, what, like, was there a period of adjustment? What was that like for you, coming to the States, seeing what the culture was like, and you know, how did you feel when you were going through that?
So there was really no adjustment period for me. I got very lucky where I moved when I left London. I moved to Baltimore. So Maryland is a big, big soccer hotbed. Like, literally, I know a lot of people say the DMV, like, I'm gonna try and correct this for everybody. Baltimore is Baltimore, right? Like, we are our own entity. DMV is like PG County, depending who you ask, Montgomery County, and then DC proper, and then Northern Virginia. Well, the reason I'm bringing that up is because that's where, again, I love Hispanic kids, is like going out to like playing out the playing PG County and MoCo. It's like, oh, it's a lot of Hispanic kids. So growing up in Baltimore, like, football was already there. Like, you already had, like, you know, established like first gen people that already played. I think the thing that made me switch was like going to public school, friends with other kids, was just like, I can't just learn about football, right? Like, it's always going to be there. But I had to learn about the NBA. I had to learn about the NFL, learn about baseball, learn about hip hop even more. So you take all these things and you're still watching football. You just become, you know, just this kid that just knows everything. So the reason why I knew about the NBA is because I went to a church thing and they were talking about Allen Iverson. I was like, what the hell is Allen Iverson? I went home to go look at SportsCenter and then like figured out, oh, he's nice. I was like, I like this guy. So that's when I got into basketball. And then being in Baltimore, the Ravens became a Ravens fan naturally. But yeah, so you take all these things and there was no really adjustment period because I was very lucky where I grew up in Maryland because football was there. You know, my younger brother, and immediately he found the team, and like his team is one of the best youth teams you ever see in like America. Like, you know, it's like we already had that established where we were in Maryland.
Yeah, we had Jeremy Obobese on the podcast a few months ago, and he went as far as to say, is, you know, Maryland is up there with any state in the country when it comes to talent, developing talent and putting out, you know, some of the top players that we see today. So
100%.
Yeah. So I wanted to talk about the show a little bit because, you know, like I kind of said earlier, there's just so much that you guys cover. I mean, being a basketball fan is
Lakers are out, so we don't care no more.
Right, exactly. Yeah, there's not like it's the NBA, and then, you know, if you're like a real sicko, you're watching, you know, EuroLeague, you're watching, you know, the Chinese. I don't even know if that, like, they make jokes about going to China. I don't know if people in the U.S. watch the Chinese league, but yeah. I mean, like I was listening to one of your recent episodes. You guys are like wrapping up all the stuff that was going over the weekend. You know, you're doing Serie A, you're doing La Liga, you're doing Premier League, you're doing, you know, Ligue 1. I mean, it's so much to take in. What does like a typical weekend look for you? Like, are you sitting and watching all these games? Are you getting like, you know, are you watching like, are you fast forwarding through some of the stuff? Like, what is that like? Because I feel like that is something that's extremely impressive. You know, just listening to the show.
So we have like there's obvious favorites. And, you know, the Premier League for me is always going to be my. So it's not hard for me to follow like. You know, 3 p.m. kickoffs, you know, I'm fortunate to have like three screens or whatever. So it's not hard for me to do that. But when it comes to the European game, to the other European games, you literally just pick which ones you want to see. So I normally just have one or two players that I want to have a look at, basically. I'll say, okay, what time is he playing? Fortunately, not all the games are on at the same time. So we don't have to watch all of the games, basically. It's like, if I cover a good slate of games, then Dean would, then Tosin, right. Probably has about five screens. I don't know. So he's watching a lot as well, basically. But we all kind of just share out the work. And then we, you know, way ahead of time, we've already started sending each other our notes, basically. Oh, yeah, this happened in this minute here and this happened in that minute. So I don't know if you, I think in the last episode, I think the detail about Tony Cruz dropping into the left back position kind of thing. And that's something me and Dean offline and group chat have been talking about. Loads about, you know, central midfielders basically finding space in that area kind of thing. That's something I wanted to pick up on. So that's why I made sure I watched Real Madrid that weekend. And it's just like that, you know, we don't have to watch, not every single one of us have to watch every single game, but we make sure that, you know, there's certain things that we cover. All due respect to the lower teams, but I'm not going to go watch Clermont play football on a Sunday. My missus would absolutely kill me. Like, I take the piss away. So it's just about picking what games that you like, you know. On any given weekend, it could be Le Classique, you know, PSG versus Marseille. I am not missing that. You know, I'm gonna watch that, you know. So it's just making sure that, you know, that the big fixtures or the interesting players, you know, that we kind of pick out kind of thing.
Yeah. We're also like just very sickle mode as well. Like we just know how to like manage different like just leagues. So again, like you said, I got a bunch of different screens and I got very lucky the job I had just covering, just being able to watch so many different leagues. So watching Serie A for like a good, you know, literally watching games that most people won't watch. Like, you're not on a Saturday at 6 a.m. waking up to watch Sassuolo versus Salernitana. You're not. Literally had to do that for work, right? So just like, I got very lucky where, you know, I wake up early on the weekends and just keep watching football over and over again. But like we said, we do have our favorite teams, like, you know, Arsenal and United are, you know, the favorite teams in the group chat. But at the same time, we all love football in general. I think that's the one thing that we can say is that, like, we don't care where the football, like, we just watch it. You know, if it's something that, like, we generally, like, want to watch, we'll figure it out. So we all have our different, like, things as, like, what we like to pick up during the games. I think that, you know, again, be called Moose Coach because he's literally the most tactical one out of all of us, you know, so he enjoys that. That's his thing. I'm always picking up the different, like, weird things. Like, I remember when Trent switched his boots from Under Armour to Adidas, right?
Yeah.
That's something that I noticed and I brought in the chat. And they're like, why the hell do you notice these things? I'm like, that's just what I noticed. You know, just the little things like that. So it all kind of works itself out.
Yeah. I want to add on as well. When you become so used to something, like, it doesn't even feel like a job. It doesn't feel like a chore. You know, that's the key thing. I feel like most people that, because for all of us sitting there, it's all a passion for us.
Right.
None of this feels like it's work, you know. I mean, I think the most boring game I can probably think of I watched this season might have been like a lower league, might have been like, actually, no, that's a lie, actually. No, I was gonna say it was a Brentford game. But I remember Whistler scored, was actually a good game. But genuinely speaking, it's hard for me to just be bored during a football game. There's always something to pick up on, something to notice. You know, I've had a ton of fun watching United, you know, as you guys have probably listened to. But in general, it doesn't feel like a chore. And I feel like we do in life, whether it's watching football, whether it's, you know, I don't know, whatever else, playing football, whatever, you have to make sure you enjoy it first, and then, you know, everything else becomes a lot easier.
Yeah, I feel like the same is, you know, like with MLS, like, you know, being here in the US, you know, that's something that we cover, we talk about on the show as well. You know, there's a million things you could say about MLS. There's a million, you know, the criticisms and things like that. And obviously the level isn't there. And when you're watching it, especially, you know, you spend a Saturday morning watching the Premier League, and then in the evening you watch, you know, LAFC and Portland or whatever, and you can obviously, like, the difference is obvious, but there's still like a moment or two, or maybe like four or five, especially in MLS games, where like the chaos is a little bit, like the chaos knob is turned up a little bit higher, where it's still entertaining to watch. And that is something that, like people that I know that, like, won't watch MLS, like, I try to convince them in that sense, like, because you see some of the craziest goals ever scored, like, in MLS games. Like, it's just like this, I just so chaotic that I feel like there's certain moments that, you know, it makes it worthwhile if you're, you know, that sicko, like, into that stuff.
I mean, to add to your point about the MLS, I was a ball boy for DC United in 2004, and this is where Freddie was there. And the league has literally, in like the 20 years since, right, come so much better, like, technically and like physically, like, it's become a much better league. This is why you see a lot of the young American kids do a year in MLS and go overseas, and they're fine because the league has gotten a lot better. I think that the problem with MLS is that it has a
no relegation.
I agree with that 100%. But it's still, we're only about to be 30 years old compared to you guys been here since God. So like, we're a brand new league in the strides that we made. Because I do remember, like, I remember my dad taking me to Pasadena to go see the Galaxy. I remember that rivalry against DC United, Jaime Moreno, Echeverri, Diaz Arce. I remember all that. Like, from what that was then to what it is now, it's whole completely different league.
Yeah, and I think that the problem is people have an old stereotype of MLS, right? Like, oh, it's a retirement home and this and that. I remember Marcelo was like, easiest league to play in. Like, my cousin played in MLS for a little bit, and like, it's not the easiest league to play in. So, you know, there are stereotypes going to die hard with it. It just is what it is. But I think that with every league, you know, this has its pros and its cons. So, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, on the topic of, like, seeing how the league has grown, and I feel like now in the U.S., like, soccer is starting to kind of permeate the peripheries of, you know, like, it's not, it still kind of is a niche sport, but it's becoming more so mainstream, you know, especially with the Messi coming to the league. Obviously, there's, you know, Copa America coming this summer, Club World Cup the next summer, and then the World Cup in 26. Like, how, from you, growing up as, you know, a soccer head before that was kind of a thing, how have you seen the soccer culture grow from your childhood to now?
Man, listen, I'll give you the perfect example. 2004 AFCON, right? We were at my uncle's house. Like, we all, like, had the legal cable, right? Like, all, like, maybe like 20, 30 of us in the house. And you know how it is. Like, you're watching it with a TV in 2004, right? Just everyone huddled in the house. Flash to 2020 AFCON. This is like pre-pandemic. I'm walking around in my old neighborhood in Bushwick with my phone in my hand watching AFCON by myself, yeah. Right? Yeah. So in those 15 years, streaming has gotten better. The content has gotten better. There's a lot more people that's involved in the game. Access again. So, right. You know, it's become a lot better. And even from a youth soccer perspective, I don't know how it is now, but growing up, it was expensive. Like, there was times where, like, my mom had to pay mortgage or they're going to pay off football bills. So it has gone a lot better. There's a lot more access. I just think that, you know, it's, I don't want to say, like, I think the thing is, like, there's a lot of people getting into it and you can kind of tell who knows the sport and who doesn't. I think that's the thing is, like, everybody getting into the sport. I think that's number one thing is, like, it's cool to see that everyone's getting into it, but you can also tell, like, who's, like, knows football and who doesn't. But it's nice to see, like, different minds come into the sport.
And I think as well, it's, I have never, it wasn't until probably, yeah, like, and I'm not bullshitting you guys, I can swear on this, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But seriously, I never saw growing up an MLS shirt in London ever, and now I just see Messi shirts, like, on a, I'll go play, like, in my, you know, in my kickabout, or in, like, if I'm filling in for a friend in a league game. And I'll see people in, like, Messi Inter Miami shirts. Like, I saw a little girl on Saturday morning go into the park with her mum, and she's in a Messi Inter Miami shirt, like, everywhere now. And I'm not gonna be naive enough and think, oh yeah, everybody that's wearing his shirt is watching the MLS. But the fact that they know who Inter Miami are and they know that they're in the MLS kind of thing, that wouldn't happen. Like, nobody was wearing David Beckham shirts. If I'm being real, nobody was wearing David Beckham shirts when I, at all, not a single, I didn't see anybody. I don't think they were even that readily available, to be honest. And we had, like, access to Croatia kits and stuff when I was growing up. So, you know, it was really, like, it's actually really, really, I have mates that were, you know, are huge Messi fans that were staying up to watch his first few games, you know. You know, that's a measure of how much, you know, the MLS has grown, I'd say.
Yeah, I was in Barcelona last summer, and they have the wild, like, stalls with the wild bootlegs that, like, you know, like, just some stuff that, like, it's crazy. Like, how did they even, like, come up with that design? In the mix was a bunch of Messi Inter Miami jerseys, and that was also crazy to see that they have bootleg MLS jerseys in Barcelona. Yeah. So how do you guys link up? Because, you know, being – like, this is a global sport, this is global everything, but, like, specifically, how did you, you know, the whole network come together? Because I know it's been growing and what was that like?
So it's actually really funny. It's and utterly just by chance that I decided to make a Twitter account, and Tosin decided to make a Twitter account, and Dean did, and Wale did. That's all it is, just by chance. And when you're, when you have a common interest, that's what's great about social media. When you have common interest, you'll meet some people that you'd never ever cross paths with in real life at all, and then you meet people that you absolutely would as well. So you kind of click straight away. So I'd probably say it's coming up to, when did I think Wale was the first one. So Wale, basically, when we were YouTube, started YouTube in 2018, he was, like, a guest on there, but also, like, our media guy, the guy that filmed everything in his basement, that edited everything, you know, that was directing us and shit. And he was the first one, I believe, that I followed out of the group. But I believe at that time, he already knew Dean, but not as well. He obviously knows them now. So me and him just interacted online, you know, just making jokes. You know, we're all Nigerian, so again, the common ground was there already. We're all Yoruba as well. And then I followed Tosin, and then I followed Dean, kind of thing. And then it came to a point where a lot of my interactions online, you know, 7-8 years ago would just be between these three guys. Like, I wouldn't really speak to anybody else online, even though I would tweet quite a lot. But a lot of the stuff, we just laugh at each other, kind of thing. And then one day, Dean, like our elder statesman, decided to make a group chat. And literally since the group chat, it's just spawned from there. A little detail here as well. The funny thing is that me and Wale obviously never knew each other until 24, but where my dad's house is back home is literally one street away from where Wale grew up in Nigeria, basically. Wow. And I still visit back home, but when I was younger, I used to visit back home very often. And it really dawned on me, probably a point in time where me and him crossed paths, or you didn't even know, kind of thing. It's that kind of thing. And sometimes it's like, you know, where when things are meant to be, they're meant to be. But that's literally it. We just all made Twitter accounts. That's how it happened, basically. So
yeah. And it's crazy because me and Wale both grew up in Maryland, right? Like, I grew up in Baltimore. He grew up in DC, like, you know, DMV area. Never would have crossed paths. And the crazy thing is, like, now me and Wale, like, we're all brothers. Like, me and Wale have so many mutual friends. It's the craziest thing in the world, where it's like, we have so many friends that are live, but it didn't cross because it just didn't happen that way. So some of my friends I went to college with, some of my friends I was in middle school with, know him, but I never knew him until we started the group chat. So it was insane. So that's how just life happened that way.
Yeah. It's kind of like you and Bridget. Bridget, we have a third co-host, Bridget Flores. She's not here today, but they have a crazy, you know, serendipitous meeting, kind of like that too as well.
Definitely. I saw her at a concert, and I photobombed a picture, and she posted me online. And all the soccer homies were like, "How the hell you know Julio?" And she was like, "I don't know him. Who is that guy?" And then they DM'd me with the picture, like, "How do you know this girl?" Like, I was in the concert just being wild. And long story short, met her at a soccer facility, and we were like, "Yeah, we just need all the same people because of soccer." Is that soccer space?
Isn't it crazy what this sport does? Like, how connected through this damn ball. Like, this little ball is, like, literally what creates a whole, like, lifelong friendship and, like, family. It's insane.
Yeah. No, and I was telling my brother, like, it seems like a big space, but if you're part of the soccer community and you played at a certain level, like, you know everybody. Whether you think you don't, you do. Like, you probably played in him in this league that you don't even know. You're like, "Hey, you were that guy that was wearing..." Oh, and then it goes to that all the time. Like, small soccer space.
I give you guys a funny story about that. When I played for Baltimore Bays in the final, I played against this team called NASA Elite. So it was like us against NASA Elite in the final. One of the kids is Warren Cravell, who ended up playing like for Philly.
Yeah.
So I didn't know, me and Warren, and Coach, I don't think you know this story. Me and Warren played against each other in that final, right? So me and Warren, when we were interviewing for Shirtless Plantain Show, we're talking about his youth team. I was like, "Wait, you played for NASA?" I said, "Yeah." I was like, "I played against you in the final." He goes, "No way." We ended up finding out then and there we played against each other in the final. We didn't even know. So, yeah.
I mean, football makes the world so much smaller. I mean, it isn't a big city, but there's people that are from across the city that I absolutely would not have known if I didn't just decide, you know what, I want to go fill in for my mate in this pickup league here, on this pickup league there, kind of thing. West, I mean, there's a bunch of like 3G and 4G pitches in White City, which is probably 300 feet away from the QPR stadium, and the amount of talent and the amount of people that have passed through those gates, basically, West London. I live probably about a good hour drive from West London, but the amount of talent that pass through those gates that are just playing, kind of thing, you would never ever know. I mean, there was one time we played against a bunch of, I think it was under 21s, basically, from the QPR Academy, that are having a kick about, basically, and just, I decided to obviously fill in for someone, and I've never ran so much before in my life, but I met people that day that I was like, "Oh, I had no idea that, you know, I could meet and speak to you just because of the fact that we happened to be there playing football. Same way that I have some of my lifelong friends that it all happened one Friday afternoon where we're like, oh, the pitch is open. We'll divide our teams up. We'll just play kind of thing. Someone scores a great goal. Oh, sick goal. Know it. 2 years later, we're on holiday together and stuff like that. It's just, it keeps on. It's one of those things that it will keep on happening. I've made friends this year alone just from talking about football. It's a constant thing. So.
Yeah, and now you're sitting at 2 a.m. talking about soccer. You know, like, that's crazy. yeah. So where do you see like next few years in the U.S. is gonna be big? Where do you see? Because I feel like FIFA, you know, it's not like them to be greedy, but I feel like they've been like, you know, really kind of eyeing this market as one to tap into, like, financially. What, like, and they're putting all this stuff on, you know. La Liga said they're gonna come do some matches here. Like, is there a danger of overdoing things when it comes to soccer in the US, or over forcing it, or do you think the more the better?
I'll let Tosin jump in off, but I just want to say, bottom of my heart, I think it's a terrible idea. I think the integrity of the sport, of the league, right, it loses my fairness and stuff like that. It loses a lot of that if you're playing actual league games outside of the country. That's the number one thing here. If we're talking about doing something extra where it's like, okay, US fans get to watch their favorite players in a sort of, I wouldn't even say preseason tournament kind of thing. It could be at the end of the season anyway kind of thing. But that would be a thing where I think something would have to give. So you literally can't have, you know, all these extra international games or stuff like that kind of thing.
Right.
If you want to give the fans something that's a bit more authentic, that isn't going to interfere with the league season, that's, I think if you're actually tapping into, oh, the actual schedule now, where millions, potential billions are at stake across the league, you know, I think that's I personally don't like the idea. I like the idea that you want to get more people involved. I don't like the idea of the integrity of the league in compromise, basically. I'm so against it, unfortunately. So, but yeah, Sussan, go ahead.
I like the fact that football's getting big in America. I do love the fact that they're trying to like get in contact with like teams. I mean, this has been happening long before everybody else even knows this. Like, this team's example. I'm not sure if you noticed, Chelsea sponsored my brother's team when they were like U16, U17. They were called Baltimore-based Chelsea. Like, they literally wore Chelsea kits. So this is something that hasn't, you know, has been happening for years now. I think the problem is that we're getting to a dangerous territory. Start playing games in America, we start losing the atmosphere of what makes these leagues special in the first place.
Right.
Like,
right.
let's use Kenilworth Road as an example, right? Luton Stadium.
Yeah.
There's
the Bodega Stadium.
Yeah, that stadium is as intimate and small. You can't recreate that in America. You can't recreate that. Like, one of my favorite stadiums of all time, and like, I'm a United fan, so United fans don't care what I'm about to say. One of my favorite stadiums of all time is Highbury. I love Highbury. Like, that to me is the essence of football, right? Of Highbury. And there was a certain thing about Highbury, like when I was younger, like I remember, you know, remember when United and Arsenal used to have these wars back in the day?
Yeah.
I used to be scared looking at Thierry Henry, like that narrow tunnel coming through of like Highbury, and you see Thierry Henry on one side, you see like Roy Keane, and you see all these other guys. But like, that's the atmosphere. That's what makes football football. I think that when you're trying to do it in America, you lose a lot of essence. Like, yeah, you're going to see your favorite players, but it's not the same thing. You're not getting the 74,000 people at Old Trafford. You're not getting raucous atmosphere at St. James's Park. You're not getting the same thing that you're going to get at Emirates. You know, even Chelsea, who we don't like at all, you're not getting
Chelsea's a bit old, though. Let's be fair. Honestly. But you know, I think you're actually raising a really good point here, guys. And just stay with me here for a second about atmosphere and the authenticity of it, right? Most I really, really hate the fact that, you know, if you want to watch your favorite team, whatever sport it is, you know, if I want to go and watch the Knicks, I have to go to London to watch. If I want to watch a proper league game, I know obviously they're gonna have some games, not the Knicks per se, but the NBA are gonna have some games, right, in Europe every year, which is fine, it's cool. But if you really want authenticity, I'm not being funny, you're not gonna get that in a preseason game. You're not in a, you're not going to get that in a, you know, in a manufactured, you know, setting where it's during the league season, but it's not the same kind of thing. And I think, okay, no, Tosin wasn't there, but Wale and Dean lost, was it last, last actually, went to, was it LA they went to?
No, it was Baltimore at M&T Bank.
Yeah, yeah. It was Baltimore. So they both went to watch Arsenal versus Chelsea and we smoked their shit at 4-0 or 4-1 or whatever. And they loved it. They had a great time. It was fantastic. And then Dean came over last September to watch Arsenal versus Man United with me, right? And he had a blast, whale of a time kind of thing. And he was just, in his head, he was like, okay, I've twice now in the last year kind of thing, and it's night and day. A regular, even though it's, you know, to me, it's still the biggest league game in the calendar. It's a regular league game, right? It's also Man United kind of thing. And he was just like, this blew his socks off. But then he's comparing it to what he's in America, and it's night and day. You cannot, you know, walking through the turnstiles, you know, going up the stairs, having everyone singing all the songs, like, you know, an hour before kickoff, all of those things, as, you know, as great as I'm buzzing them, I can imagine the atmosphere in America is going to be the same. You know, I feel like anybody privileged enough to be able to say, you know, I want to go into Europe and watch a game in Europe, I couldn't recommend it enough. Like, there is nothing that you cannot replicate it. Like, you just can't. And it's not because of the people to do is to do with it, but it's just the institution. Football is a genuine institution in Europe kind of thing. And I feel like bringing it over to the US for games is absolutely fine, but it's just the way you do it. There has to be an acceptance that it's not going to be the same, you know?
And I'm going to add on to that point. I went to a Ravens game last year, and there's certain things that we do in Baltimore and in Maryland that's like very different, right? Like when we play the national anthem, we say, oh, like, so it's like, you're like saying, oh, say, can you see? Then we randomly just yell out, you got 75,000 people at MSA Bank Stadium. Just, oh, just loud as hell. You can't buy that if you put the game in Brazil. And I understand why, you know, NFL is going to Brazil. I understand where they're going to. I get it. I'm not, you know, I understand why they're in Wembley. I'm not opposed to it. I get it. What I'm saying is that you don't get a certain atmosphere. So I went to the Ravens game, right? Blew my mind from the NFL is like, in person, like Lamar is freakish as hell. Like these are things that you can't see on TV, right? Like this is a certain atmosphere you don't get on TV. So I love the fact they're trying to get into America because this is a big market. Like, you know, I was just with Adam Crafton a few weeks ago. He's now just for doing stuff at The Athletic over here. We're talking about it and he's blown his mind as to see how much Americans really love football. Like 10 o'clock on a Sunday, you got a bar full of United fans drinking on a Sunday. It's like, in England, you think we're gonna wake up at 10 o'clock to watch football? It's like, it's not really like that. It's like, see that. It's insane to see how like Americans like it. So we do have a big following here. I just think that we're losing the plot a bit if we're gonna keep trying to, like, you know, add more games. Cause the players already, we got, listen, the season ends next year.
It's wild.
Yeah, like this, yeah. The season ends next May, right? Then Club World Cup, like 2 or 3 weeks later. It's like, what are we doing? Like, what are we doing at this point?
You're tiring the players out and just going to get them injured. You'll have your favorite player injured. And everybody knows they're worrying about the World Cup. They don't care about any of these other tournaments unless it's a Copa America or a Euro Cup. So, we got to rest the players. We can't – you can see Messi now. Messi looks fatigued. Like, anytime Messi can play, they'll do it. Like, hey, let's go watch Messi practice. Like, they try to sell anything Messi right now.
Yeah. And then to your point, like, also, it's hundreds of years of tradition, and like, you can't, like, no matter how hard you try, you can't really replicate it, especially at a stadium that's not really built for the sport, right? And I think we've talked about how, like, the chants, like, especially in the U.S., like, we're just not good at doing chants.
The U.S. men's national team chants.
Like, you guys can do, like, you guys will have, like, a week a week's notice time of signing a player, and you guys have like four different chants for them that are all like that all hit. Whereas like we can't get over, we've had like the U.S. men's national team has had like the same six chants for the last whatever 20-30 years, and I can't stand any of them. Like it's crazy. Like the best we could do is like defense, you know. Yeah, like no, I feel like, you know, we talked about that. So the list of the chants and
how creative they can get. Erickson get an American boy, like
right.
It's crazy how quick y'all come up with these chants.
They're very awful chants too, and Coach knows it too. You guys.
No, honestly speaking, I can't even. I've got to ask God for so much forgiveness for the things I've sung at football matches. Because, yeah, absolutely. Like all these poor managers' mums that we sung about. Like honestly, it's crazy. But you know, it's funny. You go into Europe and things are relatively similar, but they're quite different as well. Like I think, for example, in Bayern, right. You know, they've got their song FC Bayern, but they've actually got the actual song playing in the stadium. And what is the stadium, like DJ or announcer kind of thing will stop it at one point so that the crowd can sing it as well. Mm-hmm. And it hits every single time. Like when they score a goal, like beginning of the match, it hits every single time kind of thing. And like this, it's just one of those things that it's a part of European football. And I think, you know, obviously, you know, I haven't watched the game as well, but I can imagine they've got chants like that as well. But I can imagine they do things a little bit different. I think, you know, maybe instead of being, you know, you guys don't have as many chants in the US, maybe have something different that just, right. you know, that signifies this is a game taking place in the US, basically. And I think, you know, the great nuances, you know, of all these little things that you see in South America for that is what makes the game, you know, really, really special. But also, you know, you don't feel as if you're watching the same thing over and over and over again. You know, I think it'll be good, it'll be funny, but I think it'll kind of suck if, you know, I go to America and I'm hearing the same chants that I hear in England or I hear.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, we want our own thing. Like we can take and, you know, get inspiration from certain things from South America, from Europe, from wherever, but we want it to be, you know, our thing too. Yeah.
Yeah, because I see the Argentinian league, the way they go after with their teams, they get real creative with their chants, like the atmosphere. I think the U.S. gotta let the flares come into the stadiums.
Yeah.
LAFC did it last season and they got penalized. Like, bring the flares to the U.S.
I don't know. That's inciting. That's
nah.
It's gonna be dangerous.
Bring the flares to the U.S. Like no, but just like from a fan experience, like watching it on TV, seeing that, like it looks amazing.
Yeah. Fair enough. I get it. Okay. We are before we wrap things.
While no one knows what tomorrow may bring, Bridgestone is working toward a more positive outlook. With innovations like developing a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials. It's just one of the many ways Bridgestone is making a difference today for generations to come. Because that's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I love the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends.
Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Up, you know, we always like to end things on like a musical note to end things out. So what are some artists who's on your playlist? What have you been what's been in the rotation the last few days for you guys?
Coach, you go first.
Okay. So I'll give a mix of what's on there right now. So Odemode Black, he's an Afrobeats rapper. I think he's like the best in the world. I absolutely love him. I think he's great. Babytron, I think he's probably one of my favorite new rappers that's come out of the US for sure. What else is there? The new Nas actually with DJ Premier. I can't wait for that album. Should be coming out soon. Well, hopefully relatively soon. Last year actually, when I met Dean and Wale and Tosin for the first time last year. Mm-hmm. And there was an album that I was playing in Wale's car every time I got into it. Decent by Toby Lou and Ferrada. Loved that album as well. So I've literally just had it on repeat since last year. Not really much else. A bit of Currency. Not much else really, I'd say.
Yeah, I'm right now, a lot of Larry June, a lot of Currency.
Okay. Yeah.
I have to go through my list as well. A lot of Larry June, a lot of Currency. Obviously, listen to Kendrick's song because that is hilarious to me.
Yeah, that's wild, dude.
Wow. We were just listening before the pod started.
Yeah. very, 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 very funny and rude. Definitely Metro, obviously. It's a lot of just old rap, too, like Reasonable Doubt, going back to Illmatic, going back to Stillmatic, going back to It Was Written. So, you know, one thing that we all have in common, which is funny, in the Charlotte's Plantain show, we all have the same favorite rapper, which is Nas. So,
really, but he's the best, isn't it? Like.
Dang, I'm gonna have to disagree because growing up, I was the biggest Jay-Z fan. Like, can't sell me nothing. Like, okay, it was cute. Like, Nas came out with Illmatic, but he was like, man, he slept with your girl though. Nas, come on, man. Like,
see, hey, man. Only
one, these guys cried on radio, and only one of them, you know, apologized.
Yeah, Mama Duke's got the bomb. You got to stop it. Yes, Mama Duke's got the bomb.
I'm just saying. No, obviously, I love Jay-Z as well, kind of thing. But there's only ever been one rapper. I think that's probably because of my age. Like, you know, I was what. 5 years old when Illmatic came out, so it became part of it became something that we all grew up on. You know, everybody's older brother or uncle was playing that. You know, so that's one of those things.
Yeah, there's also a lot of like older R&B and like also Afrobeats. I mean, with Nigerian, I can't not listen to Afrobeats. So
right.
I'm over listening to Cut Close and like Toni Braxton and Janet. So that's just what you randomly hear over here. So yeah.
Yeah, that's more your flavor too.
I just went to a Music Soul Child concert last week. I was vibing out. Yeah, I'm a 90s R&B, early 2000s. Any mixtape Lil Wayne was on back in the days, like that's me right there.
Yeah, that's amazing stuff.
Yeah, we talk about being washed a lot, and I think there the first time where I figured I was like, yo, maybe I am kind of washed is like. My music playlist hasn't really changed in the last like 4 or 5 years. Like I'll add new songs to it, you know, but for the most part, it's the same, you know, 4 or 5 artists that I have in rotation. And I've come very, like since then, like the first time I realized, I was like, yo man, this isn't good. Like, you know, I was kind of nervous, but now I've come completely to terms with it. Like a lot of the new stuff, like I do like, but it's not like hitting the same as, you know, like the Kanye's were, the Schoolboy Q, Kendrick Lamar, like that kind of blog era, Currency, Big Crit, like all those kind of like mid or early 2000s, like that to me was like, I guess, you know, I also happen to be, you know, that a certain age, you know, so to me that's like just. Yeah, you know, I just got to come to terms with I'm washed, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I actually really loved, I still do to be fair, but I really loved Big Crit. I think between 2012 to like 2016 or 17, like anything crit done, I was on top of it. Straight pause. On top.
Yo, you guys said that's when you guys said that's when you realized it was your washes with the music, right? I think I realized I was washed when like a lot of these players that we grew up on started becoming managers. Like when I'm seeing Carrick, I'm seeing De Rossi, I'm seeing Xabi Alonso,
Cleverly.
Yeah, Tom Cleverly. Like even today, someone tweeted that they started watching football in 2017. I was just like, yo, I watched Pep Guardiola playing. I was like, I watched Pep. I was like,
I remember him. I remember being busted by being a drug cheat. Like, I remember all of that. That's absolutely
beautiful. So it's just like when people start saying like what year they start watching football, I'm just like, yo, like my first game I went to was England Nigeria, like 94 in the original Wembley. Like before they I was like, Am I the elder statesman now? Like, am I the uncle? So shit like that makes me realize, like, yo, you might be the old man now. So
or when you see the sons of players that you grew up watching definitely starting to come through like that, that's also crazy.
What is the science behind really good players having sons that suck? Like, what is that? Seriously, all of the I think the only guy to maybe beat the curse was maybe Maldini's dad. Because I think, is it Daniel Maldini didn't beat the curse? I'm sorry.
The kid, right?
Chicharito's dad was a pretty good, like, he was a Mexican legend, and his son, Chicharito.
Yeah, you're right. I did remember that, actually. Yeah. But speaking, I mean, I can't really. Dennis Bergkamp has a son, basically, that's played, right? You guys probably didn't even know that he had a son that played. Nah. But his son is 25, 26, and
I mean, Shaquille Van Persie apparently is going to be really good, so we'll
see. Yeah, I'm not holding my breath. I've seen too much evidence.
But there is a good one, though. Michael Jordan and Anthony Edwards, so, you know. Oh.
The GOAT. Hey, baby, before we get out of here, how does Nigeria come out with them fire jerseys year after year?
Like, that's because that's our what's it called? That's what God gives us because we were such an unserious country.
We've got nothing else, man. Just hey. Beautiful gowns and that's it. Like.
Yeah.
Don't come out with the Cameroon one piece. Y'all good.
Oh yeah.
actually have that Cameroon one piece.
That was crazy.
That is crazy. How do you put that on? For real?
I don't want to know how you put that on. Yeah.
The romper. Okay. The so romper.
It's in my room, but I do have it here. I do have that. I have an Eto'o one.
The man romper. Why that's crazy. Do you have it, though? As a Nigerian, why?
How many times you wore it, too, though?
Never wore it. I've never wore it a day in my life. But the reason why I have it is my old coworker was at a vintage football shop, and he texted me. He goes, like, I know Eto'o's one of your favorite strikers of all time. Would you want to buy this? I was like, why not? I was like, as a Nigerian, it's very disrespectful to my lineage and to my people. But as an Eto'o guy, I'm just like, it just is what it is. So, I had to get it. I'm not going to buy no Barcelona kit, tell you that much. So,
I feel that.
I can't lie to you. I've got a ton of ownership. But can I ask you guys a question? What are your, like, if you had to give us your top three, maybe top two favorite football kits, what would they be? I'm just curious to know.
Oof. Off the top of my head, I have the Claret Arsenal jersey from like 07. Was that the year? The dark red, the ox blood color, like with the O2 on it. That one to me is one of my favorites.
That was the last season that I had. I've got that as well, actually, with the gold O2.
So
the official name for it was called the Red Current Kit.
The Red Current. Yeah. There's a lot of different names. Like I've seen Claret, I've seen Red Current. That one goes hard. I have a 1990 the re-release of the Arsenal home kit that they came out with a couple years ago. Like around the 92 one. Yeah. Right. Yep. I have that one. That one's one of my favorites that I personally own. Mm. But yeah, Arsenal to me has like the one of the best like runs. Kit histories. Yeah, yeah. So those are some of my favorites, just off the top of my head.
The Florentina Super Mario.
The Nintendo.
The purple one. Yeah. And the sleeper one, the Sevilla Super Mario one. Those are probably two of my favorite kits of all time.
You know what's great about those kits? Batistuta War.
And Maradona. Exactly. And then I'm a Man U fan, but I got to go back to that Arsenal Total 90s jersey. Like, that Total 90 era for me is just so goated.
Oh, with the yellow going around the...
Yeah, like, it's just so goated.
I have that one as well, actually.
You said you're United fan, right? You brought up Arsenal. I'm going to give you a kit. This one right here.
The CR7,
I don't like that kit for obvious reasons. So
That's why I brought it up.
No, but anything Total 90, even the American Total 90 jersey they had back in the days with the numbers, circle numbers.
The circle numbers, like the
2004 one, right?
Yes, definitely.
I actually have the white and the blue one. So I have a Landon Donovan one and I have a Freddie Adu one somewhere in the apartment. So.
And then the Juventus pink one, when he first came out with the pink one, a lot of people were like, we're not wearing pink. Like, nah, everybody wore it when that came out.
He just likes it because Drake has.
No, and then that was a Cameron fan too. He was wearing pink with the first. So I was like, we doing this. No, but those are probably my favorite jerseys of all time because it brings back memories for me.
Yeah.
And they was just like such sleeper jerseys. Like that Florentina, like, all right, Batistuta wearing, it was just like, it looked amazing. Plus the Super Mario, just the nostalgia, how the way it was done, amazing.
I actually have something to show you because I know you said you're a Beckham fan. Yeah. I'm going to show you something. This is for you to look at.
There you go. The
O2 Manias. Wow. I don't know why I have a pair of O2 Manias, but they're here.
So how many times have you called those?
I've never wore them.
Those would turn to dust if you put them on.
Yeah, he put them on. ACL gone.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even have a leg anymore. I put them on the whole entire just gone to pieces. Yeah. So, no,
but that's what I'm happy with is Adidas drop. Like, Adidas wanted to move away from what made Adidas Adidas. Now they're back in, like, the white three Predators is like.
The white three Predators were crazy.
Like, you guys are, like, all right, Nike, watch out. Because Nike was doing their thing.
Nike have let me down, to be honest. Nike are my brand, but I won't let you. I think I bought my Adidas trainers in about 15 years, I'd say, because they were Yeezys. Basically, I bought some last year, and I was these are actually nice. I need something to go with the Arsenal gear. So, I think Nike have really, in terms of football, Nike have really dropped the ball. 7-8 years, I'd say, for sure.
Yeah, some of the kit designs that they came out with for the Euro and the Copa America, like, what they weren't as good as in years past. You mentioned the Nike Nigeria is kind of on its own level because they
can't do no wrong with that one.
Yeah, I mean they've been doing the U.S. dirty for the last, I don't know, like 5-6 years, so.
And they just got Germany, so the U.S. is not even going to get a jersey no more. It's going to be Germany's jersey.
Yeah.
But whatever, that's here nor there. But Umbro is a brand that's really slept on with their kits. I don't think they came out with a bad kit.
They were,
and then I think Nike sold them out.
Do you got your guys wearing Nike kits at Copa America this year?
Say again?
Uruguay's wearing Nike kits at Copa this year.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Oh, they were Puma before, right?
They were, and then I don't know, somehow they're getting Nike kits this year, and
that's
France
crazy.
And then Nike kit too. They extended the Nike deal, so who knows, man? Like, I just want, like, all I want is Nike to bring back the shock orange Vapor 2s, the orange and white ones. That's all I want. Just bring those ones specifically back. That's all I want.
Yeah, just give me the R9 color wave. Like.
Yeah. They haven't gone back into the retro cleat bag like Adidas has. I remember they brought back one of the Total 90, like the Total 90 lasers a few years back. Yeah. But I feel like they haven't really gone into that. They haven't touched on the whole nostalgia of like retro kits like they do with all their other shoes. Like you know, most of their top selling shoes are shoes they designed, you know, in the 80s or 90s and all that, you know. So I feel like that could be the next move for them to kind of revitalize themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, but listen, you know, we're running low on time. Thank you. This has been an awesome conversation. You know, we've been fans of your guys for some time now, and it's good to finally sit down and chop it up. But appreciate you, especially Coach, for making it out of this late hour. I know, you know, you said it. You said it's routine for you now, but still, I mean, when we were watching the was it the Women's World Cup last summer, we were waking up at, you know, 2 a.m. for some of these games, and we were in terrible moods. Number one, because the U.S. were playing terribly, and number two. I mean, we just got zero sleep, so you know, appreciate you for taking the time to chop it up with us.
Genuinely just very grateful, you know, for you guys reaching out and, you know, you guys showing support as well. It's you know, we can all win together, you know, and really, really grateful for the opportunity to come to onto your show and talk. So yeah, thank you guys.
Yeah, and to Coach's point, you know, thank you guys truly. We appreciate you guys just reaching out, you know, just trying to do this football thing, and it's nice to just have, you know, people to also share the same passion about the sport and like see the same vision. So we appreciate you guys truly.
Yeah, thank you guys again. Shirtless Plantain Show, check them out on Believe Network, check them out on YouTube, everywhere you get your podcasts, on socials, all of that. Appreciate you, Tosin and Coach, for taking the time. We'll see y'all next week.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s. 1975, to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie, and fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Welcome to a trip you'll never forget in Denver. Where summer sunshine sparks mountain adventure. Denver, always welcome. Plan your trip at visitdenver.com/summer.
Te presentamos a la familia Rubio. Ellos hacen todo en familia.
Rompecabezas, viajes a Walmart,
ejercicios, cocinamos,
todo.
Y cuando supieron que la farmacia de Walmart tiene vacunas para todas las edades, desde HPV hasta neumonía,
pues nos fuimos en familia a vacunarnos.
Y de una vez hicimos nuestras compras.
Like, obvio, Abu.
Protege a tu familia con vacunas para todos. Haz una cita hoy con los farmacéuticos expertos de Walmart Pharmacy. Bienvenido a una farmacia más simple. Bienvenido a tu Walmart. Sujetas a disponibilidad y ley estatal aplicable. Se aplican restricciones según la edad. Pregúntale a tu farmacéutico por detalles.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches, but there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.